Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Arvind Smart Spaces Limited Q2 and H1 FY23 earnings conference call. We have with us today on the call Mr. Kamal Singhal, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Ankit Jain, the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Avinash Suresh, Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Prakash Makhana, Company Secretary, and Mr. Vikram Rajput, Head Investor Relations. Please note that a copy of disclosure is available on the investor section of the website of Arvind Smart Spaces Limited, as well as on stock exchanges. Please do note that anything said on this call which reflects the outlook towards the future, which could be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be reviewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. With that, I would now like to hand the floor over to Mr. Kamal Singhal for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rutuja. Good afternoon. A very warm welcome, Diwali and New Year greetings to everyone present on this call. Thank you for joining today to discuss the operating and financial performance of Arvind Smart Spaces for the second quarter and the first half ending September 30, 2022. I would like to begin by sharing my thoughts on real estate environment and broad highlights of the quarter. We then can look forward to taking your questions and suggestions. We believe the current upcycle in the housing market is likely to remain intact, and we see several factors contributing to this. Demand continues to benefit from the lifestyle changes, where consumers are looking to shift to projects with contemporary amenities, upgradation of large home to the large homes, and increased adoption of hybrid work models, work from home, etc. Housing prices have increased across cities and absorbed very well by the consumers so far. The salary class and end users are driving demand in mid-income segment. Luxury market too is doing very well, and history tells us that luxury real estate generally picks up in an upcycle. Improved affordability across cities on account of subdued prices and decadal low interest rates have been driving housing demand in the past few years. However, interest rates have been moving northwards successively in the last few months. While interest rate hikes have not impacted demand significantly so far, we remain very watchful about this. Consolidation and formalization of sector continues to play out, with organized players, especially the listed and the leading ones, consistently gaining market share. We believe developers with strong balance sheet shall continue to thrive and continue to grow larger. In line with our aim to be amongst India's top 10 real estate players, we have a very strong balance sheet as we speak. A brand. I'm sorry. I'll just take a minute to clear this. We have a strong balance sheet, a brand, a geographical presence, a great product mix, capital allocation strategies, operational excellence, and digital capabilities to successfully achieve this milestone in the medium term. Coming to our quarterly performance, Q2 has been an eventful quarter for the company, with traction across business development, launches, and bookings. Bookings performance remains healthy despite a seasonal muted quarter, with a momentum across sustenance as well as new launches. During the quarter, bookings grew by 3% year-on-year to 189 crores. Our two projects were launched in Ahmedabad, the first being Force of Life, which witnessed an overwhelming response with the entire launched inventory of rupees 90 crores sold within 36 hours. The acquisition to launch cycle in this project is noteworthy, which was just about 3 months. The second project was Forestay 5. This is the fifth phase of a large project called Forestay, and this was launched towards the end of the quarter, and it has also witnessed a healthy traction with the higher price realizations. Q2 financial year 2023 collections stood at 113 crores as against 161 crores last year. We are aware collections have been subdued this quarter. However, we expect them to improve meaningfully with some of the important milestones getting achieved and completed in the coming weeks and months. Business development, as you know, continue to remain the top KRA for the leadership team here. We are happy to share you details of acquisition of our 9th and 10th project in Bangalore. We acquired a new project measuring around 27 acres of land with a potential top line of around 250 crores plus at Dodlapur Road under SDFC Platform 2. Further, we acquired a new project measuring 18 crores of land with a top line of around 150 crore rupees near IBC Road, North Bangalore. This project actually is very close to or rather adjacent to the first one that we have been doing in Devanahalli and is fully owned by the company. This is not under the platform. This is 100% owned by the company. There is a potential opportunity to increase the size of both these projects significantly by 2 to 3 times, subject to technical and legal diligences, and we are very hopeful that this should be done. Bangalore is our second home, where Urban Group has significant operations and human capital. Over the years, Urban Smart Spaces has leveraged the group's brand equity in Bangalore and has built a meaningful presence there. We continue to deepen our market share there. With these acquisitions, we now have 4 projects in Bangalore lined up for launch in the upcoming months and quarters. While on Bangalore, let me bring attention to our digital capabilities. Arvind Smart Spaces Limited has launched a digital sales platform for its projects, Arvind Bellary in Yelahanka. The platform enables users to experience different units from inside as well as experience the actual views from the balconies, etc., which are shot at the location using drone and other technologies. In addition to this, the user is able to view the available inventory and select the desired home as well as see the entire cost breakup, etc. This brings in a lot of transparency and trust in the entire home buying process. We are excited with the progress of our partnership with HDFC. Within a short span of 2 months, we have already added 2 projects to our portfolio through this platform already. The 27-acre project is the second acquisition under the newly created HDFC Platform 2. You would remember that under the first platform, we had already acquired a project in Bangalore. Moving on from operational updates to the financial highlights, in H1, we reported a revenue of 111 crores, up 110% on a year-on-year basis. EBITDA for H1 grew by 32% to 20 crores. PAT for the H1 grew 132% to 12 crores. In Q2, we reported a revenue of 50 crores, up 96% year-on-year. EBITDA for Q2 grew by 34% to 9 crores. PAT for the quarter grew 79% to 4.8 crores and our balance sheet position remains strong. As on September 30th, 2022, our net debt remains negative at 11 crores. However, the company has started leveraging its balance sheet with the introduction of gross debt this quarter, mainly for the new acquisitions. We have significant headroom to raise fresh funds while maintaining a very healthy debt equity ratio and other parameters when it comes to leveraging the balance sheet. Another notable development this quarter has been the exercise of 28,50,000 warrants of ASL entailing an investment of 29 crores by myself. After several years at the helm of the company, my commitment and belief in the company has only increased. This investment of personal capital highlights my confidence in ASL's growth trajectory and the plans. It also is a reflection of the underlying value in the company given the milestone achieved to date as well as the opportunities that lie ahead for us. To conclude my remarks, real estate sector prospects remain very strong with a cohesive improvement in demand, supply and prices across markets that we are operating and otherwise. The housing cycle has remained very positive, especially for organized players with established track record of design and execution. We look forward to leveraging our brand and a strong balance sheet to further expand our portfolio of projects in our focus markets of Bangalore, Ahmedabad, Pune, and of course we want to now enter in MMR as we have said before, and we are putting efforts towards that. The remainder of the year should witness an improvement in our performance across parameters, and we expect to end the year on a very strong note. Thank you. Now over to the questions and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Chaitanya Shah from Silver Line Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. My question is regarding the slide number 50 in the presentation that has been uploaded. Could you just give some brief on the acquisition target that you mentioned, that you are targeting 5,000 crores worth of acquisition in the next 12 months? Could you just give a brief on that?
Yeah, sure. So the new platform with SDFC is worth 900 crores, out of which 600 is to be invested by SDFC and 300 crores is to be invested by us from internal accruals and otherwise. Generally, historically, we have noted that we have a ratio of around 5 to 6 between the top line created and the amount of money invested in land. So 900 should give us a number of around 5,000 and thereabouts. Although you know, the primary target of acquiring any project is to consolidate and add up to the bottom line, of course, the free cash flows and EBITDAs and VATs, etc. And generally, we have been speaking about a margin or an EBITDA level margin of in excess of maybe around 25%. So a 5,000 crore should give you anything more than or something more than 1,250 odd crores. Now what can happen is that depending upon the sequence of projects which are acquired, you might sometimes take more horizontal initially and then migrate to the verticals later and vice versa. As we speak, we are on course to achieve this 5,000 crores through an investment of 900 crores. All the initial bunch of investment is such where the top line corresponding to investment is on a little lower side, but the margins are even healthier than what our target of 1250 crores. So effectively, investments is in line with these numbers of 5,000 and 1250 crores of margins per se. And both the projects that we have acquired under the new platform is in line of that.
Just to add to what Kamal Bhai just said, while slide number 50, what you are looking at 5,000 crore, is just one of the areas. Overall, this represents, this summarizes our business strategy in terms of what do we want to be, where we want to be focused, in which segment, in which geographies. And one of the segment, one of the pillar is sound capital allocation, where we target that since we have signed a platform with HDFC, which we have announced last quarter. Within that platform, we are expecting a top line potential of 5,000 crores. There will be other areas besides the platform where we will continue to add to our project portfolio, and that will be our top line completely.
I understand. The reason I ask this question is looking at one of the other slides, the slide number 24 also in your presentation. The total sales done by the company, including, you know, the ongoing projects, the completed projects and the launch projects, is close to 6,000 crores. So when we talk about addition of new 5,000 crores, that is a very big addition to the current size that the company is operating in, right? So just in terms of business development or in terms of the management bandwidth, what has been the change and what gives you confidence that you'll be able to handle such a big volume in such a short period of time?
So you're right. I mean, of course, the company is in the middle of orbital change and trajectory is changing. That is very clear from the numbers, whichever way you read them. But the good news is that last couple of years and especially the post-pandemic has shown us that company is geared both from managerial bandwidth point of view and resourcing point of view. And SDFC platform has given us that impetus in our capital structure where money is now not a constraint, which always used to be the case even otherwise before the platform and other arrangements kicked in. Money has been infused by promoters and KMPs, and also this platform is working and helping us degree on that. So bandwidth, yes, we have ticked this box and we have acquired some of the large ones in Bangalore for the first time in the last couple of years. The team has been further strengthened. I mean, today if you look at the critical resources that we have and the kind of experience that the team has now is very qualitatively different from what we used to have. And we know our KRAs, we know what we need to do that. And that's what we are working on. As I said in my initial address also, that the KRA for the senior leadership team is to add projects and to do BD. And that is clearly our focus. So we are very confident, and we also can share with you that the pipeline of project is very healthy. Of course, we are very, very choosy. Of course, we'll remain very, very conservative. Of course, we'll be very, very cautious. While money is there and resources are there, we don't want to be in a hurry to be doing anything which is faster or which is not as prudent as it should be. Within the realm of conservatism and caution that we always exercise, and that's why you will appreciate that every single project of ours till date has been performing well, cash positive, and broadly everything is in an autopilot mode where projects have recovered their money or investments very, very quickly, and then on the cash flows are getting generated. In the last couple of years, we've seen that happening very clearly. God has been kind, and the team has been working wonderfully to ensure that every single project is performing and we are not getting stuck on anything that we've taken up. We want to remain this way, and this means we'll be a little conservative, we'll remain conservative, and that's how it is expected to pan out.
Okay, and my last question is, you know, in the current global backdrop of recession and even domestically home loan rates are touched 9%, or you know, in some cases even exceeded 9%. So what is your view on the real estate cycle as of today, especially because you know we have a very aggressive growth plan?
So I mean, today as of now, if you say in the short term, we don't see any major worry. The momentum is great, the market is great, the sentiment is good, and people are looking at real estate both for consumption and as an investment option in a very aggressive way. In fact, we've seen traction across our products. Some of the products are luxury, some of the products are mid-price, some of the products are investment-oriented, some of the products are very, very consumption-oriented. I mean, let's take Fruits of Life, for example. It's an investment product, essentially speaking. Maybe the actual use of the product will come 5 to 10 years hence. So, and that has done so very well. At the same time, Bel Air is selling pretty robust, very strong, and very consistent. So we see traction all across. Interest rates have definitely moved up from more like a 7%+ to 8.5% now, which obviously is something which we should be keeping in mind. But I think, as I said in the previous calls also, so long as it doesn't cross 9%, there are no big worries, because 7.5 was an exception. 8.5-9 is actually not an exception. It should not impact in any very significant way. Beyond that, of course, there are ways and means that one has to think of, and little bit of a price escalation or the cost escalation in that sense to the investor is not a bad idea. In a long-term real estate cycle, it's good to increase cost gradually, and that also makes people take their calls early, take their buying decisions early, and that's what is happening. So we are not overly worried at this point in time. We see short and medium term be pretty stable. Interest rates, nevertheless, are broadly okay at this point. We don't see any dramatic things happening. Rupee has depreciated, but it might become stable from here onwards, or might remain fairly consistent from here onwards. So we are okay at this point in time, and we are of course keeping an eye on what happens from here onwards.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritvik Seth from OneUp Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity. So I just had one question. So in the initial comments, you mentioned that Arvind Smart Space is looking.
Can you speak louder? Can you speak a little louder, please? Yeah.
Yeah. Is it better?
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Sorry. So in the opening remarks, you mentioned that we are looking to be among the top 10 real estate players in India. Did I hear it right?
Yeah. Correct.
Okay. And this will be a part of what you've mentioned, strong balance sheet, brand, HDFC tie-up, and what are the steps you have taken in the last couple of years?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Okay, sir. All the best and thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shreyansh Mehta from Equitas. Please go ahead. Mr. Shreyansh Mehta, please go ahead with a question. Your line is unmuted. Mr. Mehta, may we request you to unmute yourself if muted from your handset?
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I have two questions. One pertaining to our pre-sales guidance for the year. And, you know, if you could put some number for, say, FY 2024-25, and second, you know, you are talking about entering the MMR region. So, just wanted your thoughts on, you know, one of the reasons why you want to enter the MMR market. Number one, and number two, would it be pure play land acquisition, or are we looking at GVGD or redevelopment more as far as the MMR market is concerned?
Sure. I mean, as a policy, we don't give guidance per se on the critical parameters. We have been achieving certain amount of trajectory in terms of growth in all these critical parameters. Historically, last 3-4 years have been robust. We've been growing anything between 30-40% in the critical ones. Our idea is to keep growing at that rate going forward. So that's something which possibly can be worked on based on the trends that we have achieved, and this is what we continue to strive and achieve. That's one. Regarding your MMR, MMR is a, you know, we have been very, very conservative when it comes to horizontal expansion across geographies. I mean, more than a decade of operations, and we have been kind of going deeper and deeper in our home market of Hyderabad and also our second home, which is Bangalore. Bangalore today, we are very strong, and the pipeline is strong, and the visibility is strong, and the amount of investment which are right now happening is also an indication that there all the building blocks are in place to go deeper and deeper, and of course that market can take bigger. But having spent more than a decade in these two major markets, we think now is the time that we could explore Mumbai, Maharashtra in general, but Mumbai and Pune in particular. To do that, few quarters back, we entered Pune to understand the environment. We have one project which is up and running. We've learned our tricks, we've learned our lessons there, we've understood the environment there, and we now feel very confident. This is now the time possibly to take the brand extension into MMR and Pune in general. We are very aggressively now looking at Pune and MMR both to have this as our growth engine. So with this addition, maybe we'll have 3 geographies, and we are putting a very strong team of execution, project development, etc., in these markets. So the simple reason is that Mumbai gives us one additional market. Second, having penetrated deeper into the existing market, it's now appropriate for us to expand in the third one. Before we move into any market, we want to make sure that we are deep enough in the previous ones. And the third one or the fourth one should be deep enough for us to have that setup which can take care of volume which are appropriate for us, given our size and the production size that we look ourselves like. So MMR makes very natural sense. And by the way, you know, the way our brand is recalled very well in South, especially in Bangalore, we feel that a group based in Gujarat, based in Ahmedabad, and very, very strong from other business point of view and even otherwise in Bangalore, Mumbai and Pune will give us very similar advantages. Pune, for example, is an IT-driven market. And our core consumer is that consumer which has an income bracket of 30 to 40 lakhs. They can spend a lakh, lakh and a half in EMIs. They have already bought a house where they're living, but they can invest in one more of a similar size for end consumption or for rental or as an investment portfolio, etc. And the EMI to income, disposable income ratio is all there. And that fits into our overall segmentation, pricing bracket, etc., etc. And the broader characteristics of the market also match there. And besides that, Mumbai has that brand recall, Arvind, in a very significant way. We've done our test marketing, we've done our studies and analysis there in some of the micro markets, and we find that Arvind can resonate in a very significant way, the way it happened in case of Bangalore as well. So these are the clear reasons why we should be there. And the last part of the question is about whether we want to do acquisitions, JV and JDs, etc. I think we'll do everything. We are currently looking at everything. We can buy out, we can obviously do JVs, and we are looking at that. And JDs, of course, is one of the most preferred route that we want to take. MMR means a lot of money when it comes to acquiring land parcels.
Right.
JDs make more sense. Maybe you will see the component of JD to be pretty healthy eventually once it all settles down.
Got it. Sir, and sir, last, if I may squeeze in, you know, you talked about that currently we are at a comfortable leverage. So just wanted to understand till what levels, you know, will make you, you know, till what levels can we go? I mean, what is there any number, you know, which you are looking at in terms of leverage or absolute number?
So, I mean, today the net leveraging, net debt is negative still. I mean, having right. invested a decent amount of money in the last two quarters outside the platform, and within the platform, we are still negative. So we've got a lot of headroom to raise funds through debt. Historically, we have been telling and we have been targeting to not go beyond 1:1 on debt equity, but that's not the only criteria to look at it. But okay. on actual basis, we actually have never touched even one. So while we'll keep right. that target in mind that we should never be more than 1:1, we mm-hmm. we hope that we'll always remain below, significantly below 1:1. So maybe more like a 0.7, 0.8 or something. That's what is there in our mind.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kirti Jain from Canada HSBC. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot for the opportunity. Sir, first of all, congratulations for newer business development activities which you have taken. Sir, my first question is with regard to our collections. Sir, our collection at 115 crores, when we see that our sales, Baolu has happened 90 crores, where we would have collected full money. So excluding Baolu, we have collected only 25, or how we should read about the collection, sir?
Yeah, I'll answer this question.
Yeah, Ankit, if you can take this question.
Yeah, so we of course give project-wise collection, which is there on the other slide on the quarter two synopsis. Baolu collection, because it is only a launch quarter, so we initially collect only a limited sum, and hence we have collected close to 5 odd crores out of the 113 crores.
Okay. Sir, my second question is with regard to the two new projects where we have highlighted that we can increase the area by 2 to 3x subject to technical and legal feasibility. So, sir, my question is the land parcels have got negotiated, or the price is also under negotiation, or how is it, the situation, sir, with regard to the newer prospect in the Dodbalapur and the newer Devanahalli project, sir?
Sure. So, you know, these are horizontal projects, and we always have something called a critical mass or the critical size of the project. Unless we hit that threshold, we don't call it as a project. We don't get into aggregation directly. Of course, it is done through some of the aggregators and some of the people who are primarily responsible to do that. And we put our penny only when we see that the critical mass is happening in first shot. For example, Dodlapur, in one shot we did some 27 acres. 25 acres was the minimum we had set a condition, because we know that once it crosses 25, the project is on. We are not stuck with a 10 acres in that location, which is neither here nor there. It can't be used for a high-rise, at least at this point in time. It might be the case in a couple of years, but not today. And plotting for a 10 acres is too small a thing to get into and you know, execute and create something which is interesting for the consumer. So the moment we saw that 25 is ready, we did 27 in one shot, and we know that the project is on, and that's how we are telling the market and everybody that this project is now on. Same is the case with the other one, 18 acres. But all these projects and acquisitions are such where the idea is not to stop at 25 or 18, etc. For example, the first project in Devanahalli started with something very similar, 25, 26 acres, and today it has crossed 50. And idea is to make it even bigger. As you make the projects bigger, it becomes more and more financially viable and profitable because the land, the backside keeps coming cheaper and faster, etc. So that's what we are targeting. Idea will be to do 2x and even more, both these projects. But as such, we are happy with the size that we've already got. And this means that our targets and our profitability and our configurations and our projects are on with the size that we've acquired already. And there's a very strong chance of adding very significant amount of land in these projects.
Sure, sir. So one of the things which we envisage compared to other real estate companies is that we want to be a factory or factory sort of a real estate company. Sir, when do you see a big launch pipeline kicking in for us, sir? Like Baulu has done, but like continuously month after month, monthly one project getting launched for us. When will we see that, sir?
So if you really see last quarter and this quarter call, we've launched a couple of projects in the last 3 months. And as you very rightly said, we have to do it over and over and over again. That engine is in place. We have started doing it and delivering on that already. And the idea is to keep doing it. And if you have to touch 5,000 crores from the platform, then obviously we'll have to keep doing it. I mean, each project is giving 250, 500, or maybe we'll start looking at slightly bigger ones from here onwards. But that should start coming into the market very soon. And the team is working around that.
Sure, sir. So my last question with regard to business development pipeline, how is the pipeline looking and any target if you can guide for business development, what we are targeting for next 6 months? And also on second question is with regard to the launches, what is the launch pipeline for this next 5 months, sir? These are the two questions.
So the platform money, which is 900 crores, has to be deployed at the earliest. It's the money which is on tap. We already have the money that is our contribution with us. Those lines and those surpluses are all there in the company already. And of course, HDFC money is available. So it's a question of getting the right projects, getting the right options, and we being convinced technically and legally on those. And then acquiring them. As we speak, the pipeline is fairly strong. The list is bigger than what we need, and hence it's a question of scrutinizing them and picking and choosing from the options which are broadly already kind of created. As of now, you know, the commitments, etc., are pretty healthy, and we are very, very confident and hopeful by before the end of this financial year, we would have committed our entire 900 crores. And there are great indications to suggest that this will be achieved. Launch, we obviously on the launch side, yeah, we should launch our first project in Devanahalli any point in time, any time from now. Then we are also hoping that Sarjapur Villa project we should be launching before the end of this financial, which is on track and now on track and should happen. And apart from that, at least one more launch is something that we are working on within this financial. So between today and next 4 odd months, there should be 3 large launches.
Okay. Sure, sir. Thanks, sir. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Parikshit Kandapal from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, Kamalji. Good afternoon and congratulations on a good quarter. My first question is on the Mumbai and the Pune market. So you're looking to make an entry in Mumbai market and I consolidate further into Pune market. So what kind of cross development value projects in this financial year are you looking to add from the Mumbai market?
See, we are not keeping any specific number in mind. We have been, like for example, Pune, we took a little while before we said, okay, now we are on, and now we want to add and invest significantly there. To that extent, Pune will be easier to consolidate and that's what is happening. We will be a little conservative in MMR in acquiring new projects, but definitely we want to make a start with at least one or two projects in MMR within this financial year from the land acquisition point of view. But we are not really working on any very specific number out there. It's about starting and starting it well, starting it very, very on a very strong footing. And that's where we believe that one or two projects to be committed within this financial year will be a great idea in a new market.
So how are you looking to do? I mean, are you going to buy outright or JDA, JVA? So these one or two projects, so from the capital allocation point of view, so what could be the investment in land, or will this largely be asset light, JDA, so or development? So how is your strategy? So how are you thinking about the MMR market to start off? Because even a smaller size project could be 200 to 300 crore GDV. So just wanted to put some color on that.
Yeah, great question. As such, in the medium term, we want to do all the three, JV, JDs and outright. And our idea is not to invest more than, say, 100 to 150 crores in a location on an outright basis, which is pretty small in MMR, right? I mean, as you said. But you know, a JD, JV with this kind of investment could be a very, very decent size to enter. So naturally, it will be more prudent to believe that first couple of projects might come through JV, JDs. But at the same time, we are okay investing 150 odd crore rupees in a new land acquisition on our own. So as of now, all the three options are open. We are working on all the three. Let us see which one clicks first. But of course, we will not be investing too much of our own money in the very beginning in Mumbai, as you said. Very right.
So by this financial year, we can look at adding, let's say, we add two projects, so about 500 crores of GDV addition may happen.
Sorry, if you can say it again.
By the financial year end, if you are able to close a couple of projects, one or two projects, if you have two projects, so each project is, say, 250 crores sales potential. So is it right to assume that by this year end, we'll have about anywhere from 250 to 500 crores of sales potential value projects getting added from Mumbai?
Yeah, I mean, a project not giving 250 crores and thereabouts is something which is too small in any case. So definitely, the target would be to have a couple of such projects, and a total top-line potential of 500 crores is very realistic, and this is something which we should be able to achieve, and this is the kind of target which is there in our mind, for sure. It could be little more. I mean, suppose a JD comes where the top-line is more than that, and the initial investment is less than maybe 150 odd crores, is possible. Through JD route, we should be doing more if a couple of such deals happen. But irrespective of whether it is JD or outright purchase, a top line of around 500 crores from MMR in this financial year, from the point of view of new acquisitions and commitments, yes.
Okay. Second question is on the plotted development. The number, the sales value of these looks to be really conservative. If I see 27 acres or the 16, 17 acres, so is it like you're working on, because realization-wise it looks to be fine, but FSI seems to be much lower. So are these going to be very low density development, like even in plotted? I was wondering if these numbers are very conservative.
These numbers per se from the square footage point of view are pretty accurate. I mean, for example, Bangalore, 1 acre will give you 55 to 56% of sellable area, and that's what is depicted in the numbers. So when it comes to 1 acre gives how much, that is the case. See, because these are plotting projects, you don't build on them, and there is no built up area calculated. It's about land sales, and land sales proportion is 55 to 56% of the total land available. That's why the numbers sounds less. But at the same time, you know, there are locations where we also could do hybrid. Maybe phase 1, phase 2 remains the way we've depicted at this point in time. But phase 3, once the overall development happens, once people can get the look and feel of the place there, possibly then we can add villas in our low density construction thereafter. And when that happens, and of course that is also there in our mind, and when that happens, the saleable area will suddenly start going up for the same project. Today, the numbers that we've shown are based on pure and pure 55% to 56% of plotting to be sold, but there is an upside of adding built-up products at maybe phase 3 or phase 4 of the same projects. We've not projected that far for the same location in the same project. That is definitely a possibility to a certain extent in the later phases, but today they are plotting projects mapped and predicted and forecasted that way. But whatever is projected, that is very realistic for the product mix that we have envisaged at this point in time.
Okay. So, because when I see the 50 acre in Devanahalli and 1.1 million square feet sellable, it's just about 20%. So, and we have given an indicative top line of 380. So, if one acre is about 1 lakh square feet of resi, so 50 acres is about 5 million, and we have given 1.1 million, it's about 20%. So, I was wondering why it is so low. I got your point that you're saying maybe.
Per acre, it will be about 23,000 square feet approximately. So 23,000 square feet into 50 acres will work out to about 1.1 million.
And this is more than 50%, by the way, not 20%. Right?
Okay.
55%.
Got it.
Yes. It's not 20%, it's 55%.
Got it. Now I was comparing with residential.
Yeah. Yeah.
Group housing, I was comparing with group housing, so I thought that. Okay, so then the last question, and again, so a lot of BD is happening on plotted, so so any outlook on group housing, so how do you want to ramp up the BD on the group housing? So you did mention about Mumbai, so I assume that Mumbai will add to the group housing part of the gross development value. So if you can just touch upon how do you intend to ramp up your group housing portfolio?
Yeah, very, very good question and very good understanding of the product mix. We are very well aware that while we have more than achieved in our, you know, we've more than achieved our profitability targets from the product mix which has been acquired in the last couple of quarters. The projects are extremely good. Land acquisition prices, etc., have been very, very attractive. We have clearly gained an advantage in all the markets that we've acquired land in terms of the pricing we can offer, and we can easily outprice competition and still maintain very healthy margins out there. But when it comes to the top line, they are low, and hence we need to add some bit of inventory which is built up and group housing, etc. That's where the entire focus has shifted already, and we are now from here onwards looking at adding the built up projects through acquisitions, JDs and JVs, because built up projects involve more working capital. It has more contingent liabilities or commitments. Liability is a little harsh word, but commitments, if I were to say. Of course, the proportion of JDs will now start increasing with the focus on build-ups, and that's what we are doing. And you will see some few things happening in the coming weeks and months on that.
Okay. Sure, sir. Thank you, Kamalji, and all the best to you and your team.
Thanks. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhananjay Kumar Mishra from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello Kamalji. So, just wanted to understand this. We have close to 2,000 crore revenue potential from this business development, and you indicated that two or three more launches is expected in next 5 months. And then we have 200 crore of sales potential left from the completed and 800 from ongoing. So overall, 3,000 crore worth of sales booking is still left from the all three categories. So what could be the this year number in terms of sales booking and next year? Because I guess next 15 to 18 months, we could be able to close all sales booking from these, at least these projects.
Yeah, to give exact numbers is a little difficult, and that kind of becomes a guidance which we don't give. But as I said in the very beginning, we have been growing at 30-odd% and in excess of 30% year on year for the last several years, and that's where we want to land in terms of fresh sales. We had 600-odd crores last year, and of course we want to grow from there onwards this year and thereafter. So we are very hopeful, and we are working towards an objective of maintaining the growth rate that we've achieved in the past, and that should be around 30% odd. So that's where we are.
Okay. So, closer to 900 to 1,000 is possible for this year.
I'm a little poor in mathematics, but I'm sure you can do that. Yeah.
Okay. And these all projects will be completed because most of the projects are plotted development. So for next 3 years, can we expect the completion of all at least announced projects, which including the business development projects?
I think projects will take less than 3 years for sure. I mean, yeah, it is in terms of sales, they are very quick. Baolu is one example, the Fruits of Life, and the other ones also here in Ahmedabad, Forestier was not a plotting really, but more like a horizontal. Hygro has been another, Chirping Wood is another example. So we take significantly less time than 3 years to sell, but completing it should be a couple of years and thereabouts.
Okay. And on HDFC platform, what is the size of project we already have out of this 5,000 potential we are talking about? Like HDFC platform 1 and 2 put together.
We have already shared that in slide number 23, where we have mentioned which project is under HDFC Platform 2. HDFC Platform 2 is the newer platform where so far we have acquired two projects. One is Fruits of Life, which is partly launched and partly yet to be launched. And the second is Dodabullapura Road project.
So, I mean, just to simply ask, I mean, tell you a number between Platform 1 and 2, HDFC platform would have created a top line of around 550 to 600 crores in the bag already.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, this okay, I'm adding Platform 1 and 2 together. So this includes Fruits of Life, this includes Dodablapur Road, and this includes the first project in Devanahalli. I mean, we have not disclosed the name, but these three projects put together for the land that is already acquired and about to be launched in various stages of approval, etc., is around 550 to maybe 600, more like a 600 to 700 crores. Not 550, maybe it's more like a 600 to 700 crores.
That also project-wise we have given in the slide. One is 380, second is...
Yeah, so if you add these three projects, this will add up to that number only. So you need to add Devanahalli, you need to add Dodablapur Road and Fruits of
Life. And North Bangalore.
So just one suggestion, if we could, we can start giving monthly sales number, which others real estate companies are giving, that will be helpful for track. So,
okay. Noted your suggestion. We'll see what are the possibilities and how we can go about it. But noted your suggestion for sure.
Yeah. Okay, sir. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1. The next question is from the line of Faisal Hawa from SG Hawa and Company. Please go ahead.
Thank that the Arvind Group has, which we can utilize in future because there are some planned parcels which...
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Faisal, but you are not clearly audible.
Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
So, what is the kind of land bank that the Arvind Group has, you know, which this company can also utilize going forward, just like, you know, a large industrial conglomerates like Godrej and Mahindra have given advantage to their real estate companies? And do we plan to further get into any kind of warehousing or, you know, industrial plotting projects also?
So, two questions. Answering the second one first, our focus will remain in residential space, but within residential, we'll do all the projects or products, which is mid-rise, luxury, high-rises, villa, townships, plotting, etc., etc. So, within residential, will be very, very widespread, but the focus remains in residential. We're not intending to do any warehousing and stuff, or even offices. There can be some adjacencies which might necessitate or make it logical for us to have some component of these things within a project, but primary focus remains residential. What was the other question?
What is the land bank that the Arvind Group has for?
So we don't own any land bank. This company is an independent entity. Any lands that the flagship might have, and if we were to get into any sort of arrangements like we have in one case, which is Forestay, is done purely on an arm's length basis, where we compete with any other developer who could be potential developer for that particular land for Arvind Limited per se. But otherwise, our model is not relying on land banking. For us, it's important to hit the market at the earliest possible time once the land is acquired or the land rights are acquired. We don't keep any land in the waiting, so there is no land bank. If it's like, as somebody just said it during this call, that it's more like a manufacturing mindset where land is a raw material, an idea is to add value, an idea is to exit and sell at the earliest possible time. And the KRA for the entire team and the group is to see that we hit the market once the land expenditure is incurred. We hit the market at the earliest and bring in development profit rather than speculative profit. So there is no land banking strategy at all. Speaking on the current status on this, I think we've all the land parcel, all the major investments are already selling, apart from the ones which would have got acquired in the last few months, because they are under approval processes, and approval processes take 6 odd months, in certain cases 8 odd months, but beyond that we don't have any land which is not getting approved or, you know, which is not under the effort of hitting the market in general sense.
What actually arouses my curiosity is, what is the kind of, you know, USP or what is the kind of, you know, differentiating factor that we'll have in MMR and Pune and Bangalore, where, you know, the Arvind brand name may not be so well known. So what is the kind of USP that we get there, you know, so to really, you know, make our sales faster?
So I mean, we can take an example of Bangalore. One is that, generally speaking, organized players, after the GST came into play, demonetization happened, etc., RERA came in. I think there is a general tailwind for the organized players which have access to structured capital. That's what we have. There is a great space for players who have a very strong balance sheet and who are not over-leveraged. That's something which we have. There is a very high degree of appreciation and preference in the consumer's mind for a player which is branded, which has a legacy, which has a trust factor attached to it, and which also has a track record. I think we check all these boxes on that front as well. Arvind as a brand is close to so many people in their daily lives through the brands we do. I mean, Tommy is a household name, CK is a household name, Arrow is a household name, and we've got a very large presence out there. That's another box getting ticked. I'll disagree a little bit on the brand recall in markets like Bangalore. In fact, it's the other way around. We knew that we'll find resonance, we knew that we'll find echo there, but when we really entered, we found that the echo and the resonance was much higher than what we would have anticipated. People knew us, people appreciated it, and people jumped onto that bandwagon of buying from a player like us. And we were very quickly able to get into that league of top 5 or 6 in Bangalore. By the way, Bangalore is one of the most organized and a market dominated by very organized, disciplined, and, you know, better of the lot developers across the country if you were to compare. And we were very quickly able to, you know, get into that kind of a league. So we see a very similar potential in Pune, very similar market, and we are going to be hitting with very similar product mix there. And Mumbai is, you know, a market where the brand recall is one of the highest for Arvind. Of course, there is a Gujarati element to it, but more than that, you know, our brand side or our other business side are very, very strong in Mumbai as well as we had this case in Bangalore, and hence this should be the case.
And sir, what is the kind of, you know, sales velocity we will see, actual sales, you know, where we take the delivery? Is it fair to assume that by FY financial 26 or something, you know, the sales velocity actually comes to something like 2000 crores? I'm not asking for a future guidance, but are we planning for some that kind of a business plan?
So one way to look at it is that the organic growth that we are delivering, so that's anywhere in the range of 30-35%, 40% on top line and fresh sales, etc. Of course, the idea is to continue doing it and rather consolidate further. One major ingredient or the resource required is capital. We have been selling healthy, we have been seeing the traction, we have delivered a lot of stuff in the market already, and hence the presence is all there. We are going deeper and deeper, but of course you need more money to invest if the whole wheel was to be bigger. or the whole cycle was to be made bigger. That is one bit where we worked hard in the last few quarters. SGFC platform is one of such examples where capital side constraints have been removed. Once that piece is in place, we think that the growth trajectory should be achievable. And if we continue to grow in terms of percentages the way we have been growing, and even better that to a large extent or to at least some extent, we should be able to hit the 1,000 and 2,000 trajectory very soon.
And how are we going
to... Mr. Faisal, may we request you to please rejoin the queue? We have participants waiting for the turn. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bajrang Bafna from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Congratulations for good pre-sales numbers, Kamal sir. I'm sorry I joined a bit late if my question is repetitive, but just I'm bifurcating my question into two parts. One is the growth that you are building on, let's say, the 600 crore number that we did last time without any platform sale of SGFC. And the second is that the SGFC platform that we have embarked upon, and I think we have guided almost 4,500 to 5,000 crore kind of revenue potential from this 900 crore investment, that we are doing. So what that 600 crore number that probably we can think of growing over next 3, 4, 5 years, that is one that you are doing without, capital infusion from HDFC. And the second is the HDFC platform, which by what time frame we expect that this entire 4,500 crore to 5,000 crore kind of number can be, launched and, ultimately be delivered. So if you could guide on that, will be really helpful for us.
So, I mean, as you very rightly said, 900 crores to be deployed. The first milestone to deploy this 900 crores is to commit this 900 crores in the market. That means the project is identified, preliminary diligence is done, commercial negotiations are over, and some sort of a binding agreement is already signed, with some money, a token, or little more than a token is paid. That means both the parties are committed, and now it's just a question of completing the diligence in more detail. Once that happens, which should not be more than a couple of months after this first stage is clear, that the project is actually acquired and announced. Now, we are very hopeful, and the team is working around our objective where before the end of this financial year, we would have committed this entire 900 crores. And as we stand today, the progress is pretty healthy and decent, and this gives us confidence that this will be done before the end of this financial. Assuming that this will be done before March of 2023, in next 1 or 2 months, all these deals valuing 900 crore should be signed, acquired, and the land should be in our name. And from there onwards, of course, in a sequence of when which project is acquired and what is the nature of the project, approval cycles vary from 3 months to 9 months. So the real impact of SGFC investments in terms of fresh sales will start coming from the second half of next financial. That is for the ones which are getting closed now and between now and March. But having said that, couple of projects are already acquired, like this Fruits of Life. It has been acquired, it has already been sold, the cycle became too small. But possibly this is an exception. We can't do it over and over again. But a couple of those can happen in this trajectory, and hence they can be coming into the books of account. Not books of account, in fresh sales sooner than the timeline we just discussed. But on an average basis, I think towards the end of first half, early second half of next financial year is when the real impact of a lot of what we are doing under this new platform will start reflecting in the fresh sales, so to say.
Okay, got it. And this, this 900 crore number is without any leverage, right?
Yes.
So with leverage, we can go up to maybe 4,000 to 5,000 crore, right? By leveraging this 900 crores.
Yeah, this is without leverage for sure, yes. I mean,
Yes. So, yeah, because, your equity contribution may not be 20-25% in each and every project, and rest could come through other sources also. So, this 4,000 or 5,000 crore kind of, ultimate sales value that we'll build up by investing this 900 crore. So I'm just asking what time frame that you are keeping in your mind that I have to exhaust, that entire kitty of 900 crore, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. What is something that, is in back your in your mind that, you know, that is the compulsion and which I have to deliver, you know, that entire investment of 900 crore. So I'm just trying to understand that part from a longer term growth perspective.
So a horizontal project, which is essentially a plotting project, should be rotated 100% within a time span of maybe 24 to 30 months. That is one. And a built-up project should take anything like more like a 45 to 48 months. That's what we have been doing in the past. And plus minus 20%, 10% here and there in terms of number of months, it should happen. So that if you're asking me the question of reinvestment, of course, it will be faster in case of plottings. It will be longer for built-ups. But within a range of 30 to 48 months, everything will rotate, depending on which project we're talking about and how many we take of which kind.
Okay. Yeah, Kamal sir, because what I'm just trying to say is once you exhaust the 900 crores, you will definitely get a lot of pressure from, again, HDFC to, you know, go for the next platform. So that is what the broader thought process that I'm going to sense from, you know, your compulsion that I have to exhaust this platform money, you know, at what time frame. So that is the, you know, understanding that I wanted to have.
Yeah, so the idea will always be to quickly get the money back from the investments, redeploy them. And of course, the relationship with SDS has been very, very deep and great and widespread. We started with a normal transactional relationship of they providing us credit, and then it became entity level or the parent company level investment that they did. They became 8% owner of the equity into the parent company itself, and then we signed the second platform, 900 crores. But the idea is, of course, to invest, earn, reinvest, etc., etc. And that's what both the you know partners hope to continue doing.
Got it, sir. Got it. And all the very best, sir, for your future growth. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this will be the last question, which is from the line of Faisal Hawa from SG Hawa and Company. Please go ahead.
So, sir, how are we really, leveraging technology to, you know, say, make the sales faster or to, you know, make even construction faster? And, are we deploying some kind of prop tech to, you know, for faster deployment of home loans to people? Is
HDFC
helping us with that too?
Your question was not fully audible, but I've broadly got the gist of the question. It is essentially a question around how well or to what extent technology is being used or can be used to augment various kind of aspects of business, which includes BD or construction or getting funding, etc., faster. But I think we are one of those players, and I'm very proud to say that we are early adapters of technology in this business space. We had the customer portals up and running almost a decade back when none of the even biggies had done it. So customers could have a look at project sitting at their home. They could print their own receipts, they could get their statement of account without talking to anybody at all in the company. To that extent, we did long time back. Today, we have evolved significantly, and one proof of the pudding is that, you know, we sell in excess of 25% and sometimes hitting 35 and 40% of our sales coming through digital platforms, you know, where there is no broker, there is no middleman, there is no that's not even reference sale, etc. This high proportion of sales coming from the digital mode basically tells us about a lot of hard work and initiative which has been taken at the back end. You know, Arvind is a retail group per se. We sell a lot of shirts, a lot of shoes, a lot of other things through various retail businesses we have. And we've learned our lessons there. We know that space and we know how to put the entire structure, the back office, the IT backbone, which monitors your demand funnel, your supply funnel, which optimizes your walk-in ratios, conversion ratios, where the ops could be going off the track, where your conversions could be going off the track, where your recruitment, that is getting the walk-ins into the project, must be going wrong or right. So all those all those retail specific tools are in place and working very, very efficiently in our sales engine, for example. And that's one of those examples. Coming to construction, for example, you know, now when we say deliver fast, it involves a lot of technology. It involves a lot of aspects which are directly or directly indirectly linked to technology. For example, are your designs right? Are they modeled right? Have you used enough and more models to make sure that what we are planning is efficient from not only cost point of view but also from durability point of view, from the speed point of view? So all those things we are very, very active on. Our ERBs are fully stabilized. We are on Salesforce, which is one of the finest. Today I can tell you, out of 50 hoardings which are there in the city of Ahmedabad for the project X, which hoarding is doing better? Because on that hoarding, if one phone number is given and when the customer dials that number, my ERP knows that this hoarding is working to this extent and the other hoarding is not working to that extent. If there is a creative appearing in your mobile for a project which belongs to Arvind, and if you call back or if register your interest through that creative, I will even know that for project X, the creative which has Villa printed is working better than for the same project, a creative where you see clubhouse image. So what I will do is that in real time on a weekly basis, I'll say, okay, why don't you use more of Villa images and less of clubhouse images, for example. So there are so many ways and means and areas that it's almost, it's exhilarating, you know, it's exciting for us to do all this. We just talked about the sales engine where you could just climb up virtually on the floor you are looking at, in the apartment that you are looking at, come out in the balcony of the apartment you are seeing, you see the real-time images shot through drones, etc. You then say, okay, I like it, vastu is this, sizing is this, location is this, directions are these, and then you say, okay, block this. Pay some 21,000 or 50,000 on the spot and block it for 3 days and then be offline to get more details if you want it. Or go ahead and say, I want to make the booking payment having blocked the unit for 3 days there. So this entire backbone of technology which involves drones, which involves 3D mapping, which involves modeling, which involves banking, which involves payment gateway, which involves inventory to be linked, which involves your ERP systems. So everybody knows that this is blocked through that online portal and hence it can't be sold to the other party, and once this is unblocked, it's made available online once again in the real time. That is another aspect of doing things using technology as a piece. So we are very happy where we are, but there is no time to sit back. It will only improve and it has to continue to improve, and we'll definitely be setting benchmarks in the industry on technology usage in various ways that we conduct our business.
Thank you so much for answering my question so well. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Kamal Singhal for closing comments.
Great. On behalf of all of us, thank you everybody for participating in this earning call of Arvind Smart Spaces and for your continued support. I hope we have been able to address most of your queries. However, if there is anything missed out or if you need any further details and questions you have, kindly reach out to Vikram, who is here in this call with all of us, and you can connect with him offline. Look forward to interacting with everyone in the next quarter. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. On behalf of Arvind Smart Spaces Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.